Music this morning is being performed live by the Arizona Wildflowers. Generally a four-piece band. There's only two of them right now. One fiddle and one guitar. On the fiddle, we have Aspen. And Aspen's 8 years old. Seven. And on the guitar was Rennell, 10 years old. And Rennell, you've gone back and forth between the guitar and the fiddle, and there's a mandolin over there. Which one of those is your favorite? How do you decide when you're playing music in the morning? Or do you just, whatever you feel like that day?
Whatever I feel like.
Now, I've always wondered this. People that can play music like that, do you ever listen to other music?
Yes.
So who's your favorite fiddler?
Shorty and Matthew Hartz.
Very good ones. Good choices. That the fiddle is probably my favorite. You know, you've got Cajun music isn't Cajun without a fiddle, and you've got some country music that you know. Until it you add that fiddle to it. You ever listen to the Turnpike Troubadours?
I don't think I have.
Okay, well I'll have to play a few of those for you. They've got a fiddler in there that just it makes all the difference in the world to me. We appreciate y'all being here live at Sanderson Ford for the 64th anniversary Hootenanny sale.
Are you posting pictures of these girls on Facebook? I don't think the listeners believe we've got a 7 and a 9-year-old playing the fiddle and the guitar here live. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. When you add up the age of all four.
Arizona Wildflowers, right? Yep. Arizona Wildflowers.
When you add up the age of all four in the band, it would probably get close to half of the 64-year anniversary we're celebrating here today.
Not even, I bet. I don't think it'd get that high. Yeah.
You know, the landscape industry used to have a gentleman who was part of the landscape business who was the Arizona State fiddling champion, Russell Burris. I don't know if you remember that name, many, many years ago. But he was quite a fiddler.
Russell Burris.
Mm-hmm.
I know Abe Burris. I wonder if they're related. Okay. Well, we are talking landscaping, believe it or not, with Jay Harper of the Farm's Choice. And we mentioned fertilizer before and different types of granulars and applications.
Right.
You know, when we often talk organics, we often talk local. And I think the Farm's Choice is about as both of those as you can get.
It is, yeah, it's local and organic. Farm's Choice is the fertilizer division of the Hickman's Family Farms, which most people that are from around here know about Hickman's and their eggs, and supply a lot of eggs to the whole southwestern United States.
And even if you go to the grocery store and you don't buy Hickman's labeled eggs.
It still probably still came from
eggs. Private
labeling for a lot of people, and so you know, obviously chickens, you know, they make manure, and we've got to do something with that. So it makes a great organic manure, and we're very prideful in how we handle the manure. It, you know, a lot of people just think it's manure. Well, we think it's a valuable product, and we treat it that way, and we have products that are processed and pathogen free that can be used on edible greens and vegetables by our Yuma leafy greens growers, by our citrus growers, our date growers, our pecan growers, and just the same way you can use them, you know, in your home and garden and on your lawn and landscape. So great sustainable product, good for the soil, good for the plants, and it's local to boot.
Can't beat that. It's a great tie-in altogether. Plenty of text questions that have come in, lots of emails that have come in. Weeds. We talked about it in the lawn, but I think in general, real quick, pre-emergent, post-emergent, there. If you didn't get a handle of it, we've got a couple on the back side of the property that are burning up. I mean, it's just a... Well, you go out there and sneeze hard enough, and I'm just afraid they're going to go up in flames.
So especially if you live out, you know, on the transition of the desert or, you know, rural areas, you know, make sure you're get the weed eater out and start knocking that stuff down. Get it out away from your property line, you know, so that you have, you know, at least some defensible space. There are we. It may be as high a cover of grasses, weeds out in the desert as I've ever seen. There are places that's several feet deep, and we need to make sure to get a handle on that because we're going to get dry and things happen and that stuff's combustible and it burns very fast. So, and the same way goes if they're in your landscape. There's a lot of, people with gravel landscapes that didn't use pre-emergent and that stuff is up. The problem is once it starts burning up and drying up, it's also gone to seed. Mm-hmm. And that seed falls to the ground and it's just going to come back next year or the following
year or three years.
It'll lay there a long time. Look at our wildflowers. You haven't seen wildflowers for years. Get a little rain, boom, there they are. That seed can stay in that soil and be viable for a long, long time. So using a pre-emergent herbicide, I'd say, spring and fall. You need to do it a couple times a year. If you've got gravel, you can spray it on. If you've got lawn, you can, put it on with a spreader, a granular application. It just saves you so much time. There are so many other things. If you like to garden, there's so many other things that are more fun to do than garden in the landscape than pull weeds or rake weeds or, spray weeds or whatever. So use that pre-emergent. It's also, it's easier to use. It's just got a lot of pluses to it. And if you don't like to garden, you'll have more time to golf.
We talked about the transition from lawn, we're going from a rye to a Bermuda, and this whole texture's in Mesa on flood irrigation.
Okay.
And wants to know, how do you manage that transition and when to do it if you're on flood?
Well, take your flood irrigation when you're going to get your flood irrigation and just mow that lawn shorter. As that rye grass, here in the next 30 days, or I kind of let Mother Nature tell me, when it starts to look like it's thinning out, burning up, browning out, just take that lawnmower down another notch. When it starts doing a little, take it down another notch. Did it to where probably, around Mother's Day or between Mother's Day and Memorial Day, you basically have scalped the lawn, just like you did to put your winter lawn in. And, then the heat will usually just take care of it. It's not going to be, a perfect transition. It can take, and then, if May cools off, it seems like what's happened. I don't know if you've noticed this, but we stay cooler into May.
Nice spring.
And it seems like now we stay cooler into May and June, and we stay hotter into October and November.
I didn't know if that was just me.
It just seems that way. Now this fall we had a pretty typical fall, but so that it makes that transition of that Bermuda grass a little more difficult. And then you mentioned that you have a birthday in, September or whatever. Part of our problem with transition is we do our ryegrass too early. It really shouldn't happen until at least the middle of October. Maybe even nowadays, 1st of November, middle of November, for homeowners. For golf courses, a whole nother deal. But for homeowners, don't put it in till the nights have cooled off. And then once we start to transition, force the transition, but not by drying up or holding back water. We want to do it by mowing lower and then dethatching, getting that canopy opened up so those Bermuda grass rhizomes and roots and the stems that are starting to grow from the Bermuda grass can get some sunlight and some heat on them. So get that Bermuda grass out of the way. Or the ryegrass out of the way so the Bermuda can start growing.
And my guess would have to be that even though this person's on flood, they have to have something else they're watering with to even get that winter grass in to begin with.
To germinate the winter grass to get the seed to come up, perhaps, unless they do it late enough in the year, they can probably do it that way.
They could.
But the transition should actually be easier because they're not frequently watering. The ryegrass probably will burn up more quickly if you're going 13 days or so between irrigations. Once it starts to warm up, that ryegrass is probably going to stress out pretty fast.
Now, someone said they heard pre-emergent isn't safe for animals.
Well, I certainly wouldn't put it on and let my dogs and cats ride out there on the grass. The nice thing about pre-emergent is you have to water them in. They have to get down in the soil to be effective and to be activated. You can't just put pre-emergent, even if you spray it on, you got to go back over with
water
and water it in. So you are getting the pre-emergent, in theory, if you water it in good enough, there shouldn't be any way for your pets to contact it. Yeah.
And then we've got somebody that's dealing with fungus gnats. Is that two different things, or is that a fungus gnat?
Well, fungus gnats are the little, you know, if you get a house plant sometimes and those little black gnats come out of the soil, they typically are breeding in organic material. So we see them most often in house plants. They love organic material. That's where they breed. And usually it's because they're staying too wet.
So those little black bugs that fly out of the horses when we're cleaning the stalls, that's a fungus gnat?
Most likely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're in that organic, wet organic material breeding. Best way to do that is to obviously clean up or spread the stuff out so it dries out. Or if you've got them in house plants, maybe take them outside once in a while. Let them get dried out. Don't keep them too wet. Repot them in maybe some potting soil that will be a little better drained. Sometimes if it doesn't drain well and they stay too wet.
Can fruit do that too? We kind of thought maybe at our house it, we don't have house plants. So we have those little gnats everywhere.
Yeah.
We've been leaving the doors open with this beautiful weather.
Yeah.
Those little black buggy things.
And if you're
everywhere.
If you're a wine drinker, they get in your glass of wine.
Okay. They like that sweet stuff, huh?
My wife has to keep a little coaster on top of her wine glass, or they get.
Could it be the orange trees though? Like
could
as
be.
They fall,
citrus,
we try to keep it picked up.
Citrus laying on the ground.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Fungus gnats, nasty little things. And, yeah, we clean it and spread it every day, but
yeah.
I mean, they're very prolific.
One thing I've heard works is diatomaceous earth. If you spread, mm-hmm. if you've got potted plants and you put some of that in there, the grittiness of that will help control them. I suppose to some degree it helps dry things out as well.
We use DE on anything that's still wet after we're done cleaning stalls,
mm-hmm.
Oats, and just regular bird seeds. If you add it into their feed, you know, the birds figure that out
up,
and they come
and
spread through the manure, but still.
My dad used to put grain, a little bit of grain, in all the horse feeders because then the birds would just come and.
Well, that's smart. Do you have to use food grade diatomaceous earth? I never really know what that food grade part meant. Like when you do the diatomaceous earth, is that so that the horses are sniffing around and stuff that won't bother them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can even put it on their feed, the horse grade stuff, so it's actually in being processed mm-hmm. through. So there's a lot of different ways. And we just get it 50-pound sacks at the mm-hmm. feed store, and it's this huge white powder, and you get done with it, and you think someone's been baking cookies all morning.
Right.
But it brushes off. I tell you, if you're dealing with insects in your vegetable garden and you're looking for an organic way to keep them out, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from our friends at Bonide is an all-organic compound that it comes in a variety of different ways. You can ready to spray. You attach it to the end of your hose. It's, you can get it concentrate, or you can get just a straight spray bottle. Whatever the application you may need to get it done, what we found great is the ready-to-spray ones are good for the trees to get up on top where we can't reach on our citrus trees. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, you can actually apply it and eat your vegetables the same day. Is that organic? Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew can be found all over the state, including Treeland Nurseries in Mesa, Summer Winds in Phoenix, or Mesquite Valley Growers in Tucson. You can also get it at Bonide.com and see their complete line of products for lawn and garden care. Bonide products are family-made in America. If you're looking for an organic way to handle your vegetables,